This National News Edition originates from VK1WIA and is rebroadcast throughout Australia and around the world under a common licence published on the WIA website. This WIA National News Service is copyright to the Wireless Institute of Australia, and rebroadcast is authorised only under the provisions of that common licence. WIA Director and Company Secretary Peter Clee, VK8ZZ.
From Australia, this is the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.
In WIA National News this week, Angelo, VK2NWT, WIA Affiliated Clubs Coordinator. Phil Waite, VK2ASD, for the WIA's Education Committee. Jason, VK2LAW, asks us to refrain from using 7.095 MHz. Felix, VK4FUQ, tells us of the world's largest amateur radio competition. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY from Newsline, illuminates us when he joins VK3GTV Colin, and for those in VK4, hot on the heels of another successful Gold Coast Hamfest, comes news of the Redcliffe Club's Redfest. But wait, there's more, much, much more, in this edition of news from the Wireless Institute of Australia.
This is your WIA News, just the facts.
And I'm Editor Graham, VK4 Baker Baker.
This is the best news you'll get in 30 minutes. VK1WIA, the 30-minute compact.
G'day everyone, this is Angelo, VK2NWT, WIA Affiliated Clubs Coordinator. Well, the next WIA Affiliated Clubs webinar, the final for the year, is in just 3 weeks' time on Sunday, the 7th of December. All Affiliated Club presidents are invited to join in the presentation, which will be hosted by WIA President Scott Williams, along with other presenters, to discuss some of the items that the WIA is working on for the benefit of all amateur radio operators in Australia. Now, the agenda for the webinar will be sent out soon, as well as the link for registering online for the meeting. As in the past, all club presidents are invited to submit any items that you wish to raise for discussion, and topic submissions should be sent to me using the following email address: clubs@nationaloffice.wia.org.au. Whilst the duration of the webinar is around an hour, in the event that we cannot get to your submission, the WIA will take it under advisement for future webinars. These meetings are proving very popular and a great way to connect with other club presidents, and the WIA looks forward to the next meeting. If you have any questions about the webinar or any other affiliated club matters in general, then please don't hesitate to contact me. This has been Angelo, VK2NWT, for WIA National News.
Hi, this is Phil, VK2ASD, for the WIA's Education Committee. In last week's broadcast, in a segment entitled Just Asking, Dougal, VK4EKA, highlighted the fact that as radio amateurs, our stations are required to show compliance with Australian Electromagnetic Radiation Safety Standard. Dougal is absolutely right. This requirement has been part of all our licensing conditions since 2003, both under the apparatus licensing and the current class licensing. Dougal is also right that we need to keep records showing that our stations comply, and that those records need to be kept available for inspection by a Commonwealth officer. But how on earth did we do all that? Well, if the link on the WIA website that Dougal referred to was up and running, and pointing to the Education Committee website, it would all be crystal clear. There you will find a simple assessment flowchart to follow and, for stations that need further analysis, a link to the RSGB's excellent online EMR calculator. By using these tools, assessing your station for compliance with EMR safety standards is quite straightforward, and so is the record keeping. So, go to the WIA's Education Committee website at www.education.wia.org.au and click on the Club Resources tab. Clubs especially should take a good look at that page because there's a wealth of information, and perhaps the WIA will provide a link to it from their own website. Thanks to Dougal for asking and highlighting EMR safety. Once again, that website, www.education.wia.org.au. This is Phil, VK2ASD, for the Education Committee. Thanks for listening.
From here, there and everywhere. You've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now with international news, Jason, VK2LAW.
Hello. Leading international news this week, the Malaysian Amateur Radio Transmitter Society, MARTS, has urged all amateur radio operators, particularly in Region 3, to refrain from using the 7.095 MHz frequency, which is currently being used by PARA, the Philippine Amateur Radio Association, for emergency communications following Typhoon Fung Wong in that country. The move was taken after the International Amateur Radio Union Region 3 issued an official notice requesting the cooperation of all amateur radio stations in the region to keep the 7.095 MHz frequency clear to allow emergency traffic to operate without disruption. This story, although primarily for our RSGB members, viewing or listening contains an idea almost every ham radio club in Australia should be looking at emulating. Whether you've only recently soldered your first wire in a kit build or you have experience in designing an advanced software or systems engineering project, the RSGB construction competition is for you. As part of the RSGB's strategic growth priority, it wants to inspire people from different communities to find out more about amateur radio. That's why the Society has introduced a new category this year called Reimagination. If you think your project could be interesting to the maker community, or you have an idea that could encourage people from groups such as Men's Sheds to try amateur radio, this is the category for you. If it's radio-related but motivates non-radio amateurs to find out more, the RSGB welcomes your entry. There are six other categories, which means there really is something for everyone. You must be an RSGB member to enter, but you can live anywhere in the world, as entries will be judged online to allow you to participate and demonstrate your creativity remotely. The deadline for entries is the 1st of March 2026. So, for new club members and new hams, why not consider your local men's shed? Researchers at the College of Engineering at the University of Connecticut, UConn, are actively working to better understand how different wave-absorbent materials can be used to reduce high-level exposure to electromagnetic EM wave radiation. The research on reducing EM wave radiation exposure is highlighted in an article published on the website of UConn today. According to the article, Julia Vulla, an associate professor in the Chemical and Biomolecular Engineering Department, along with her team of students, is evaluating how the use of ion-exchanged zeolites can support the absorption of EM wave radiation. Under the partial sponsorship of the Air Force Office of Scientific Research, Julia is evaluating the structures of four separate zeolites, then making small changes to each structure in order to improve its performance. The recent saga of AM and FM radio in cars usually comes down to whether or not it's included as an option or to electric interference within the vehicle. But a new cease and desist letter issued by Neil Aardman, the owner of Georgia-based radio company NIA Broadcasting, highlights the potential visual alteration of metadata sent by stations, including via RDS and HD radio. It stems from what he's observed in his own Porsche Taycan GTS, which is manufactured by VW. Display data sent from his stations via RDS and HD include the HD radio artist experience and are supplanted by what he says is its own onboard metadata service. As an example, last month, a 15-year-old in Kingsland, Georgia, went missing, which is where Aardman's 106.3 WKBXFM, K-Bay 106, is located. He said the station ran the boy's picture via HD Radio's Artist Experience feature in conjunction with the Camden County Sheriff's Office. He said the boy's picture showed up on most auto displays, but not on the Porsche Taycans. The Porsche's metadata, Aardman said, often will attempt to match up currently playing artist and song title data to its own database, which he cited is often either inaccurate or outdated. If the listener sees it, they hold us responsible, Aardman says. Oh, and HD radio is akin to our DAB Plus services in Australia.
Streaming aggregator TuneIn is being acquired by Stingray Group in a transaction valued up to $175 million. The agreement will see TuneIn, which will continue to operate under its existing brand, integrate its streaming and ad platform with Stingray's distribution network. Headquartered in Montreal, Stingray Group owns more than 100 stations in major and regional markets through Stingray Radio, making it one of Canada's largest commercial radio operators. TuneIn reports more than 75 million monthly active listeners in over 100 countries, offering access to 100,000 radio stations, podcasts, and digital audio channels. Its platform spans more than 200 connected devices, including integrations with major automotive manufacturers, smart speakers, and mobile systems. For WIA National News, in Sydney, I'm Jason, VK2LAW.
We are VK1WIA. Now, operational news with VK4FUQ, Felix.
Hello there. This weekend sees the running of the ARRL sweepstakes contest. SSB, 2100 hours Zulu, November 15, to 0300 hours Zulu, November 17. With a geographic focus on the United States and Canada. Also this weekend, homebrew and old-time equipment party. The Hot Party. Once a year, homebrewers and enthusiasts of old-time equipment introduce their creations on the Hot Party. Skillful revived museum pieces are giving signs of life, as well as brand new constructions around ICs and SMD. The Hot Party is where lovingly restored and maintained commercial radio equipment meets rigorous home brewing. You don't need a complete homebrewed station or a complete line. Any old RX or homemade TX standalone is sufficient for your entrance. When and where? November 16, 1300 hours to 1500 hours UTC, 7010-7040 kHz. Then, November 16, 1500 hours to 1700 hours UTC, 3510-3560 kHz. November 29-30. The CQ Worldwide is the largest amateur radio competition in the world. Over 35,000 participants take to the airwaves, and the last weekend of November is the CQ Worldwide CW test. The goal is making as many contacts with as many different DXCC entities and CQ zones as possible. Starts 0100 hours UTC Saturday, end 23:59 hours UTC Sunday. Yota Contest December. The Fisher's Ghost Amateur Radio Club are hosting the inaugural VK Yota Contest the entire month of December. Now let's open the DX window to the world. Switzerland. 4UO ITU is a call sign for the International Amateur Radio Club at ITU HQ in Geneva, to use from 16 May to the end of the year, in celebration of the 160th anniversary of the International Telecommunication Union. QSL via LOTW, Clublogs OQRS, will direct to IARC, PO Box 6, 1211, Geneva, 20, Switzerland. Croatia, 9A169 Tesla. This is a special sign that we'll use until 31 December. In celebration of the 169th anniversary since the birth of Nikola Tesla, 10 July 1856. QSOs will be uploaded to LOTW, Clublog, and QRZ Logbook. 80th anniversary of the Technical University of Sofia, operating Special Event Station LZ80 TUS, on the air now, 1 through December 24th. For WIA National News, I'm Felix, VK4FUQ Inningham.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now, special interest group news with Cole, VK3GTV.
Hello, first up in worldwide special interest groups this week, it's astronomy and wireless weather. When we think of weather, we often think of sunshine or lack thereof. Our first story in special interest group news this week sheds some light on a satellite company's plan to shed some light, some real reflected light from the sun, back to Earth after twilight, this to benefit solar power users. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY from Newsline, illuminates us.
The FCC's Space Bureau has been asked to approve a proposed launch next April for a satellite in non-geostationary orbit that will deploy mirrors to provide sunlight on demand, according to the company's website. Reflect Orbital, a startup company based in California, filed its application this past summer for a license for what it hopes will be the first of 4,000 mirrored satellites that it wants to place in low Earth orbit by 2030. The April launch is being eyed for a demonstration satellite, which will carry a mirror that measures 18 by 18 meters or 60 by 60 feet. Sunlight's reflection by that envisioned constellation would extend daylight beyond twilight for as much as 4 hours, increasing solar power production to locations where Reflect Global has customers. The company says that its technology supports clean energy generation, but astronomers, biologists, and other scientists have raised questions about the prospect of light pollution on human and animal health and the ability to study the skies effectively. Astronomers in particular have said that lighting up dark skies would impede their work, which often uses sensitive cameras. According to published reports, Reflect Orbital recently began working with astronomers to minimize the mirror's impact on them. Meanwhile, scientists have observed how nocturnal species' lives can be disrupted and perhaps imperiled by artificial light during the night. This past May, the U.S. Air Force awarded the project a $1.25 million Small Business Innovation Research contract to support its progress. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Thanks, Kent. AI fix from Earth restores James Webb Telescope clarity. No astronauts needed, just VK2 initiative. NASA's James Webb Space Telescope has received a remarkable upgrade, not from astronauts or hardware, but from artificial intelligence. Researchers at the University of Sydney developed a software-based solution that corrected subtle image blurring in one of JWST's most sensitive instruments, restoring the telescope's precision without the need for any on-orbit servicing mission. The issue affected JWST's Aperture Masking Interferometer, AMI, a specialized instrument designed to resolve extremely fine features when observing stars and exoplanets. Soon after operations began, scientists noticed faint distortions caused by tiny electronic effects within the infrared detector. Rather than planning a complex repair mission, similar to how astronauts serviced the Hubble Space Telescope decades ago, the team pursued a software-only approach. Two PhD researchers, Louis Degoitz and Max Charles, created a new calibration system called Amigo that uses artificial intelligence to model the behavior of JWST's detector in space. By correcting a phenomenon known as the brighter-fatter effect, where electrical charge slightly spreads between pixels, their software restored AMI's ability to produce extremely sharp, high-contrast images from millions of miles away. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Final Frontier. Cat Santa's listening, or you, when the linear transponder is active, listens on 5.663 GHz and transmits on 10.47 GHz, providing approximately 200 kHz of bandwidth. Power considerations limit each activation to about 15 minutes, a balance that allows the spacecraft to support both mission science and amateur communications. CatSat, a 6U CubeSat developed and flown by students, faculty and staff at the University of Arizona in partnership with Freefall Aerospace and Rincon Research, has been in orbit since July 2004 and is now entering the phase of its mission focused on community engagement and technology demonstration. Measuring roughly the size of a family-sized cereal box, the spacecraft carries a suite of experimental payloads, including ionospheric monitoring via high-frequency radio measurements and imaging of the Earth. CatSat includes a linear transponder for amateur radio, extending the University of Arizona's long legacy in space science down to hands-on student involvement. Frequencies again? 5.663 GHz uplink, and transmits on 10.47 GHz downlink. The European Space Agency, ESA, now estimates that over 140 million pieces of space debris, each larger than 1 millimeter, are traveling in Earth's orbit at an average velocity of 7 to 8 kilometers per second. As the number of defunct and fragmented human-made objects in space rapidly increases, so do the hazard they present. This number has grown. The Tiangong Space Station's core module, Tiani, launched in 2021, was impacted by a micrometeoroid and orbital debris event within just 2 years. The impact damaged solar panels, causing a partial loss of power, necessitating two spacewalks for repairs and the installation of external debris protection devices. The 25-year-old International Space Station has performed more than 30 in-orbit manoeuvres to avoid satellites and trackable space debris. MMOD damage over the years to the ISS has impacted Russian Progress and Soyuz vehicles, Canadarm2, and one of the seven windows of the cupola. When the Research P1 satellite broke apart in 2024, creating more than 100 pieces of trackable debris, the ISS crew took emergency shelter in their return vehicles for over an hour. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Military, SA Armour Museum. ZS4 AFV from the SA Armour Museum will be active on Friday the 21st and Saturday the 22nd of November from the Maluti Military Fair at the Sandstone Heritage Estate in the Eastern Free State. The AFV suffix stands for Armoured Fighting Vehicle. QSL via Club Log. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Radio Amateur Young Timers, YOTA, Youngsters on the Air. And it's over to Alan, VK2COD.
Thank you, Cole. CB radio enthusiasts and ham are taking it to the mountains for an annual challenge. What started as an experiment between two teenagers testing the range of their walkie-talkies later grew into a test of CB radio's range in young drivers' cars. The activity, which began formally in 1987, is known as the Mountain Radio Challenge. It is a test of what a radio operator can do using only line-of-sight communications. This year's challenge is taking place on Saturday, the 29th of November. Instead of school kids on beaches, this growing challenge attracts CB radio operators on 27 MHz and amateur radio operators on the ham frequencies, many of whom are also activating SOTA summits. Tony Locke, the founder and event director, told our US sister publication, Newsline, in an email that the very challenge that began long ago between himself and a schoolmate has since expanded to several groups on hills within his home state of Victoria and has expanded to Tasmania, South Australia, and here in New South Wales. The objective is to transmit a predetermined relay message in one direction from one operator to the next, and a responding message back in the reverse direction. According to the event website, although ham radio operators will not be participating in the message relay itself, their presence on the mountains is still useful because the hams can help with operator coordination and, of course, if there is a need for emergency communications. For details about participating, see the link the text version of this week's WIA National News. For WIA National News, I'm Alan, VK2COD in Sydney. Now back to you, Cole.
Thanks, Alan. Next up, Worldwide Special Interest Groups Rescue Radio. After Hurricane Melissa, more than 70% of Jamaica was left without power, causing major communication outages. With many areas offline, families often had to travel just to find a signal or a phone line. Some students waited with no word back from family. Derek Willett, who is the main section emergency coordinator for the ARRL, said he pretty much used that amateur radio emergency service and the traffic systems that ARRL use, and then Radio Relay International to finally get some Puerto Rico contacts. Radio amateurs from the Radio Society of Sri Lanka, RSSL, participated in the Indian Ocean Wave 2025 exercise, IO Wave 25, coordinated by UNESCO's Intergovernmental Coordination Group for Indian Ocean Tsunamis on November 5th. RSSL supported the Disaster Management Centre by operating HF and VHF emergency communication networks during the exercise, which tested tsunami preparedness and communication readiness across Indian Ocean nations. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Software for Hams. Finding older versions of particular software can be a real chore, all too often only made possible by the sheer grace and benevolence of their creators. At the same time, older versions of software can be the only way to dodge undesirable upgrades, track down regressions, do historical research, set up a retro computer system, and so on. This is where an archive like oldversion.com is or was incredibly useful, offering thousands of installers for software covering a number of platforms. Unfortunately, as noted on the website, they've recently lost their main source of income in the form of Google advertising. This means that after launching in 2001, this archive may have to be shut down before long. Although these days we have sites like archive.org to do more large-scale archiving, oldversion.com is special for being focused and well-organized, along with a long and rich history that would be a shame to lose. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, VHF and above. Over in the UK, Ofcom, their regulator akin to our ACMA, has agreed to the RSGB request to extend the 146-147 MHz notice of variation for a further year. It's available on a non-interference basis, and the NOV is subject to a 30-day notice period of change or withdrawal. Full licence holders can apply to use the 146-147 MHz band. Worldwide Special Interest Groups Video and SSTV. The International Space Station is celebrating its 25th anniversary with a special SSTV event, transmitting images from space. This commenced Wednesday, November 12th and runs until November 20th. The event, organised by Amateur Radio on the International Space Station, ARIS, will feature 12 images using the PD120 encoding on a frequency of 145.800 MHz. For this new series, there'll be 6 images of ISS at 25 and 6 images concerning scouting. This marks the 25th anniversary of both the ISS and ARIS's role as the station's first educational payload. And that's the latest Worldwide Special Interest Group news. For WIA National News, I'm Cole, VK3GTV.
It's a date, and clubs are welcome to email text along with your audio for this section. You send it to nationalnews@wia.org.au, and details of all WIA-affiliated clubs and societies can be found on the WIA website, and that includes the email addresses and their website links. So, what's left in 2025? In VK3, a couple. It's the Rosebud Radio Fest at the Eastbourne Primary School at Rosebud, November 16. And in VK3 on November 21...
Bendigo Amateur Radio Electronics Club invites you to our November meeting. Join Heath, VK3TWO, as he provides an interesting presentation on LoRa in ham radio and emergency communications. LoRa, or long range, is a wireless communication technology for long-range, low-power devices. Not only is it used for APRS, Automatic Packet Reporting System, but the technology can also be used for off-grid text communications using networks such as MeshTastic and MeshCore. Subjects covered will include MeshTastic Basics, MeshCore Basics and the VK3 Network, Reticulum Overview, LoRa APRS Basics, an overview of LoRa in high-altitude balloon launches, equipment examples, and getting connected for under $30. The presentation commences at 7:30 p.m. Friday, November 21st at Barrack Headquarters, Bendigo East Hall, 35 Lancel Street. A gold coin donation would be appreciated and a light supper will be provided. The presentation will also be available live via Zoom with the Zoom details in the text version of this broadcast. I'm Graham, VK3GRK from Bendigo.
Thanks, Graham. Up to VK2, and it's the Picton Hamfest, November 23, at the Picton Showground, 8 a.m. In VK8, the Darwin Amateur Radio Club's Christmas Party, 6:30 p.m. December 3. And for the whole of VK, December 7, the WIA-affiliated Club's Briefing Webinar. Now, if you'd like to find out more about that, just rewind to the start of this week's news, when you'll hear from Angelo. Now, social scene of 2026. Ballarat Amateur Radio Group's Hamvention, Sunday, February 1. In VK6, it's Pargfest, the Mandurah Bowling Club, February 7, 9 a.m. And VK4, Redfest. Yes, the Redcliffe and Districts Radio Club will be holding Redfest 2026 on the 11th of April, 2026, at Deception Bay North State School. That's 49 Old Bay Road, Deception Bay, starting at 9 a.m. And for further information, contact the club secretary, secretary@redcliffradioclub.org.au. And in VK, for the whole of VK, it's the WIA AGM, May 2, 2 p.m. in Albury, VK2. So now, until next we meet, I am Graham, I am VK4BB. Walk softly.
From Australia, This has been the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.